Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is going to be Gary Jordan. And Gary Jordan served as judge on the natural law trial. It is quite remarkable what has been achieved. And Gary is going to tell us how this can be put, the practical side of all of this. I interviewed Cindy K. Courier about how this all came to be and what specific points have transpired, were included in this judgment, and, you know, about the fact that there were many jurors. And I'm going to put that interview in the comment area. So if you open the link for this show and you scroll down to the comment area, you will see the first of this so far two-part series on natural law and what has been achieved. Also under the screen, you will see Gary Jordan's group on Facebook, and we will add informative links that so you can follow up with any of the things that we mentioned during this interview after the show, okay? So thank you very much for tuning into Public Advocate. I know I'm very concerned right now in a practical sense with regard to the fact that we are supposed to have FEMA drills on the 13th and the 14th of November. So we don't know what these will entail. We certainly know what has been laid out in terms of vaccines and detention and things of this nature. It's very ominous, and it's hard to, you know, be merry in the face of the fact that we are under threat by our own government. And this is what we're going to speak of along with other issues. There has recently been a decree from the National Liberty Alliance, which I've asked Gary to look at as well. And that is a domestic resolution, whereas the natural law went to a world court. So there's a lot to be talked about here, and I'm going to pick up Gary Jordan forthwith. Hi there, Gary.
Oh, hello, Sally.
I'm very eager to speak with you. We have so much to talk about. How would you like to introduce yourself to the public, as well as what it is you've accomplished, and then we'll get into all the many aspects about it.
Okay, we'll start off with my name, which is Gary Jordan. Actually, there's not a whole lot to me, actually. I'm just basically an average, everyday Joe. I'm legally blind, and I do I had some experience with just other forms of disability. And I got onto Cindy K. Courier's Facebook group about Ubuntu USA, which then merged into Republic of Earth. And that's kind of how I got involved with all that. So what happened was I was looking through all this natural law stuff that she was posting, and I was really fascinated by it, how, because my goal was to help physically and intellectually disabled people get part of, you know, become part of the everyday community again. Because we're sort of like a crash, you know, we're like defective materials from the mindset of the industrial era. Anyway, so she asked me if I would be the judge on the upcoming trial against the U.S. corporation. And I was a little flabbergasted. I really wasn't expecting that. Totally out of left field for me. And she convinced me what natural law allows for that. And so I agreed to it. And so what we did is over the course of the summer, when she did the grand jury thing with the Sacred Natural Grand Jury, I read all the indictments over my cell phone at the time I was using that. And I was really impressed by how solid the evidence was. So I went through all the links and did all that. And then on August 25th, we had the full-scale trial, the criminal trial, which only lasted about an say 45 minutes to an hour, I think, where our 13-member grand jury convicted them, convicted the U.S. corporation of the charges of fraud and human trafficking, involuntary servitude, all the ones listed on Court of Ages, the thing mentioned last week. And that's sort of that's how I got in on this. And so that I ended up being the judge on that.
Well, go ahead.
Yes?
Okay. Well, I thought I was cutting you off, and I didn't want to do that. Just keep talking. If you stop, though, I always jump in, not knowing if you'd like a question, you know. But I know you have a lot to say. You said, in particular, the practical aspect of natural law is something that you had wished to discuss, because all of this is quite remarkable. And I will, the link you just referred to, if you would scroll down to the comment area after the show and place it there, along with any other link you refer people to for further information, because there's a lot to look at. And I'm going to include the interview I did with Cindy so that people can hear everything she had to say as well.
I'll be happy to do that. I'll be happy to post that link on the comment section after the show. No problem.
Okay. But there were a lot of points that were made during this trial. You know, you made a judgment on the issues that are listed on the website you just referred to, and it only took 45 minutes to present, and possibly within an hour, the whole thing was done.
Yeah. But that's because it was the jurors had a chance to look at all of it before the trial, because it was posted on that Court of Ages website. So the jurors got a chance to look at the evidence and examine it for themselves, and then Cindy presented, you know, the overview and stuff and tied it all together.
Now,
that's how
it was. This was sent to the World Court. And I said to her, when will they be presenting their decree in regard to your having sent it to them? And she said, we are not waiting from anything from them. We have just presented it to them. Is this correct? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, you are. We're not waiting. We didn't wait for them. We gave them an opportunity because we wanted to try to do it with as much as possible within the regular legal system, not because we believe that they're right or wrong, but so that people can see we went through the old channel. We tried. We showed that we tried, and we got no response back. And so we decided, because they're supposed to be a, for the world to deal with criminal justice between nation states and stuff. And this is, the U.S. corporation had taken over the position of being the nation state called the United States. So that's why we did
right.
it that way.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so basically you have made a decree and a judgment, and this can be enacted in a practical way. How?
Well, for starters, the disbandment of the U.S. corporation. Obviously, you're not going to, unless we want to go full scale with something really radical like, big militias and all this stuff, it's done in little tiny steps. It's not, you're really not, you can do it. It's quite the machine, it's quite the monster. And so, to the extent you can do it, each person has to figure out to what way they can do it without hurting themselves, to no longer feed the machine. And the more people do that, just like the Ebola scare, if everybody takes enough vitamin C and does and is wary of the scare tactics of these people, because they use fraud, they've been using fraud since the time of the corporate, the U.S. being turned into a corporation in 1871. And that was demonstrated. I mean, the whole thing was like, say, the Great Depression was an example given. And it was a planned, premeditated crash. And because, and what they did was they had an invention of a new financial instrument where you could buy, get a lot of money, funny money, because it's not really even real, that's the Federal Reserve thing. And you can, but you'd have to call back. If they call it, you have to pay everything back, but you could get the value for way less. So what they did is they called almost all of the that particular financial instrument at the same time, and that was caused the crash. It was deliberate. So all the suffering, all the cruelty, all the things that came after the Great Depression, or though of planned, fraudulent, basically act of terror. I would call it an act of terrorism, because then when they terrorized the people, they scared the people. The banks were all closing. And that's terrorism, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I mean, that's brutal. But that's an example of the fraud. Now we have the Ebola thing, which you mentioned last night, that you wanted to discuss a little bit. And that's my bottom line on that. That's just another level, another example of their attempt at fraud, fear, which is the extortion. And, of course, the involuntary servitude. If you're forced to go into one of those FEMA concentration camps, you know, because you look sick or you didn't get shot, but they just put you into the camps, you'll be forced labor, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be just like Auschwitz, just like all the nonsense of Nazi Germany. Because you only have those kind of camps for that purpose. So that was my take on that.
Right. And, well, the whole thing is very concerning, because we have a very large FEMA drill here on the 13th and 14th in Region 2, which is New York, New Jersey, and I understand Puerto Rico, too, which is nowhere near New York and New Jersey. But
wow, how did I get into there? Okay, never mind. I don't really know how they did that one.
Yeah, I don't know, but anyway, it's northern New Jersey, so the people in the south can relax a little. But we have a bona fide threat here, you know, which is just coming out of basically thin air. They have created this problem, and they, of course, have a solution, and the solution is to take away our freedom and impose martial law. And vaccinate as many people as possible with their poisonous vaccines. So they have been doing this in Africa, and we see how they're proceeding. And I'm sorry that the Africans were, as usual, the test case. But of course, bringing us to our knees financially is another thing that will be, or they're doing concurrently. And, of course, that makes everybody vulnerable in another way. So making us as vulnerable as possible, they just had an announcement for the West Coast that they would be having a lot of unbelievable weather on the mainstream media. That fellow who was a commentator on the weather has given everybody on the West Coast reason to be fearful. So the whole fear factor and the bona fide threats, because certainly all these hurricanes, these HARP and chemtrail driven hurricanes are real. We know this can happen. We see here in New York City the smallest being mandated to take a very dangerous flu shot annually. And, you know, none of these outcomes are ever reported as associated with the vaccines. We have to wait till the season's over, even though I'm still fighting to stop it, even though I'm sure a large portion of these children have been mandated and have accepted these vaccines in order to attend daycare through kindergarten. So, I mean, all do we...
Well, seniors are, I have a friend that's a senior that's saying the same thing out here in California under Medi-Cal. If you're over, I think it's 60, you're required to have a flu shot, whether or not you want it or not, or you will lose what medical coverage you have. And we know that the way most seniors, you know, 60 plus, they were not taught holistic health care. We've been under industrialized medicine, and we know that reduces the quality of life considerably. So they and when you get older, of course, you know, your body starts falling down a little bit, even under natural health. So it's both ends of the spectrum, both the children that you're mentioning and what my senior friend was telling me about, because he actually is a survivor of the polio epidemic.
Which is created by the vaccine, this is why they're so, they're all over the Middle East and in Africa with this live oral polio. Because it not only gives you flaccid paralysis, which they changed the name, it's polio, but it also gives it to people who help you, who change your diaper, who feed you, and so it spreads. But nonetheless, the dead virus also can be reactivated once in your bloodstream, and you can shed onto others in that way. And, of course, a lot of people have died from cancer from the polio vaccine administered in the 50s and 60s. And, all of this is coming to light when it's way too late. But we have to undo this vast, decades-old, possibly a century by now, old deception of the fact that there are any benefits whatsoever to vaccines. But one thing that the Supreme Court has done a terrific service in a bizarre way, they took away liability from the vaccine manufacturers, and they shot that enabled them to go from 18 vaccine doses through the age of 18 to, here in New York, we're up to 84 doses through the age of
18. Whoa, that's a jump.
So you,
that's
you
a
remove
big jump.
Liability. You remove the liability, and right now, is it GlaxoSmithKline? Somebody is seeking not to be liable for the outcome of the Ebola vaccine. Hey, I thought they were covered, but they actually have sought immunity or impunity from this vaccine. So, you know,
what a bizarre game to play.
And it's based in history. This has historical reference in every regard, from the Spanish flu onward. And in terms of created, they wiped out between 20 and 50 million people with the Spanish flu with their vaccines and aspirin. So we have a legitimate concern here, and I don't want people to be afraid, but at the same time, if they say nothing, if they do nothing to educate their fellow man, if they do nothing actively, this will be imposed. So I would recommend people not sit silently. I have a roster of recommendations that I will post in the comment area as well that I am taking. If you live in the New York, New Jersey area, please contact me. I will leave my contact is already under the screen. And, we have just no time. So in terms of practicality, there's something that I would like to say natural law could apply to, and we can stand in our natural sovereignty, in our freedom, in our freedom.
Yes. And I would also like to make sure that people understand there's two different terms that we use to point to rights. What we call rights. There is the natural rights, which are inalienable, which are born. It doesn't matter whether you're retarded, whether you're 50, whether you're 2 months old, whether you're blind, whether, you know, black, white, blue, purple, polka dots, it don't matter. You're born with it. And then there's the civil rights, which are essentially the state/corporation imposed or a lot given, which they can take away. But those are different in principle and in fact from the natural ones, the ones we're born with. And so I want to make sure your audience realizes there is a difference between the two. As I was doing a quick study in this last year, a lot of stuff I've never even heard of or knew much about. So, but I wanted to make sure you got your audience knows that. There is a difference between the two.
I have a question in terms of when your parents sign you up for a Social Security number, that incorporates you and you are part of the system. And then when you register to vote, it further, I guess, entrenches you within the system. The question is, most everybody is a registered voter. Most everybody has a Social Security number. Do they need to undo that, or are they just, you know, we are who we are in reality, and we are not a corporation, we are not part of a corporation. We didn't realize when we registered to vote that, in fact, we were further entrenching ourselves in the system. How do we undo this, or do we not even need to undo this?
That's a good question. I would, each person have to choose for themselves, especially on the voting thing, because that doesn't really, other than the voting itself, if you don't believe and buy into it, which I don't, I haven't voted in a while, I probably should unregister. I actually haven't gotten around to doing that, because there are some forms you have to do, and it's a bit of a process to undo. The Social Security number is a little more complicated, because the way they have set the system up means that you really can't get any help that you need until we reformulate our communities again, and that could take a while. That was going to be my other aspect of it on the practical side of natural law. Natural law is community-based, basically. Our ancestors lived in families, bands, clans, and tribes. And we did that for tens of thousands of years. We've only had hierarchical nation-state type setups for the last 6,000 years, which comes out to about only 150,000 years. I should say 200,000 years. But anyway, but that's the harder thing to do, because everything is set up around that Social Security number. You go to your eye doctor. You go to manage any of your other physical things. You can't do that. You can't get a job and therefore are able to feed your family without that Social Security number. They insist on it. So until our communities, and this is what I would like people to get to, we're going to have to really, really stop and think about a lot of little things that we've never thought about because they just sort of threw it off on the side in school, like the economy and stuff. Everything is built around. So I don't know how doable that is. The voting thing, yeah. It's a doable thing, and you're not going to, you know, starve your family if you unregister your vote. Social Security number, the way they've got it set up is so bizarre. I don't know how doable that is. And then there's supposed to be a bond that's supposed to be associated with each person's Social Security number. There seems to be more evidence for that than any of the other so-called prosperity funds. And that's another can of worms. That if you lose your, get rid of the Social Security number, would you just, you can't get the money now, but let's say they've, we finally round up all the criminals, we put them on an island or send them off planet or something. Would you lose the right to that? So there's a lot of questions to it that even I don't know yet, because this is like one humongous galaxy-sized onion, and each layer of fraud you peel off, there's more layers to peel.
Yeah, right. Well, I also sent you something. Now, you have sent your, what do you call it, a resolution, a decree? What are you calling what it is you sent to the World Court?
What they initially did was they sent the indictment, the grand jury, the natural law grand jury, when they indicted them in July, they sent that to the World Court. we were waiting for, we were preparing ourselves for our own trial. So the indictment from the grand jury was actually sent. And of course, it had all the links. And the recommendation of the indictment was the disbandment of the corporation known as the U.S. United States. That has been knowingly perpetrating that corporation, it to be arrested without bail. I'm reading it off right now. I got to zoom it in a bit. Oops. There we go. I'm sorry. I'm putting my phone down here. The third one is to the armistice that an accord that in the letter of the patent that Cindy mentioned last week, because we have to start somewhere. And I'm going to get to my reasoning why I've gone this way. And then the airship economy, which is essentially in reality a reinvention, reinstitution of the ancient hunter-gatherers, the sharing gifting economy. There's several names for it, which is what we did for tens of thousands of years. And then, of course, a transitional phase, which was the Nisera that was mentioned as well. And the reason I did agree, that reason I decided to go that way on the August 25th at the sentencing, is you've got to go as far back as you can. Natural law is a little different from common laws, from the corporate laws, in that you're trying to bring back the wholeness and the healing. In order to do that, you've got to go back to as much as possible to the prior state of wellness. We don't know what that would look like because we haven't had it for, in the case of the U.S. corporation, for 143 years. And then some of the pre-existing institutions that were the foundation for the U.S. corporation can go back, you know, the different aspects of it can go back only about 6,000. So you've got to almost go back to what our lifestyle was like before all that was invented. Kind of like knowing what your arm looks like. As you break your arm, and someone who doesn't know what your arm is supposed to look like and function tries to set it, they can set it in any bizarre ways that may or may not work. So the goal is to go back to your pre-existing condition where you're whole and try to do it as best you can. That's not always doable, but, you know, close as you can. So this is the closest I can think of to when we were the most functioning as a society, as people, as families, and like I say, clans and tribes and bands, because that's when we seem to be the most functional and healthy.
Okay, that makes sense. But so you have basically, you have sued to release the people from this corporation of the United States government.
I wouldn't say, we haven't, if you say sue, that means you're going through the standard court system and stuff, and they've already demonstrated that they won't, don't even want to hear anything. They're going to pretend that natural law courts and the citizens of this land, the inhabitants that live on this land, don't exist. So they're just going to be ignoring the whole thing and hope it goes away and that most people will never ever hear about it.
I see.
So we didn't sue. We didn't really sue because suing means you're demanding money. What we're doing, we're saying that those funds, the gold, things that were held back and hidden from us to be given back to us as a people. That's
okay,
about
what that is. What does that entail? What has been held from us that we should expect to receive back?
Well, apparently just about everything under the sun, because when they... Well, if you'll think about it for a second. It's not funny, but it stolen the land from the people.
I'm not laughing at you. I agree with you. I'm laughing out of recognition.
Well, it's a funny question, but it's so on target. It's funny and serious at the same time. I agree with you. But it seems like everything under the sun has been taken. the right in places out west here in in the western United States. There are a lot of places you're not even allowed to, under their corporate statutes, to collect water, the rain that's coming down from the sky. It doesn't belong to anybody. They believe in their minds, in their hearts, they believe that they own the sky. They own the land. They own the air, the water. They think that they own it all, and that we are supposed to do when they say, how they say. So basically, the whole enchilada have been taken from us. But most of us have never really thought about that because they never teach that in school.
They don't even teach civics. They don't teach how the government works.
They do, but they kind of do, but it's more of a slam-blam thinking game approach.
Well, I never had civics in school. At any level of school. And so I had to, basically, history was the closest you came to civics. And, of course, the history that's been presented is not the bona fide history of our country. So that's, everything that we have learned in school seems to be to manipulate us, just to manipulate us. So they've done a very good job, I know, in trying to debunk this vaccine fallacy. It's been just the hardest thing imaginable, the level and the depth of the deceit, but it pertains to many issues. But people who yearn for freedom above all, even above health, they yearn for freedom. People are more akin to hearing what it is you have to say, because they feel in their veins that they want to be free, first and foremost, and that they are entitled to be free. And we've been told we're free, but we are not free under the constraints we have been bound to here. And you are literally shaking off the shackles that have been imposed on us in your objection to what has transpired.
That makes a lot of sense what you just said.
Now, I asked you also, and I don't not want to discuss this, I do, the National Liberty Alliance has taken an action that I listened to, unfortunately, while I was doing other things, so I couldn't give it the 100% attention it deserved. And we are all multitaskers, aren't we? But would you like to weigh in on what it is they have done?
Well, one thing I noticed in the video that Cindy had pointed out last week, and that is that there is a lot natural law and common law, and they are distinctly different. I was listening to the video, I've heard part of it before, because it's been out since last spring sometime. But what they're trying to do makes sense, return the judiciary back to the people. That part I totally agree with. We have to start taking back our communities, and that's one way to do it. That's one very important way to do it. And apparently in the Constitution itself, it tries to give the corporations what they want and still give the people the illusion that they have their freedoms, and in order to do that, they had to keep the grand jury form that was brought over from England when the colonists on the East Coast came over. And apparently they did the Roman law, the common law, it's apparently a mixture of indigenous of the British Isles and the Roman law, because the Roman law, the centurions and the governors and stuff from Rome knew that if they had, these people were not going to totally take it their way. So they had to blend it and bring just enough so that the people would feel some sense of, the familiarity, and that they would follow it. Because there is that aspect, which is authority only goes as far as those that are willing to follow it. So they did the, so my take on the National Liberties Alliance is that it's a good step, but I believe that they have to stop using the word common law, because there is a difference, because it is in fact private law, and say natural law all the way through. Now, if they're quoting from the Constitution and stuff, which they did a lot of, then of course you have to use the terminology that's actually there. But for the most part, it sounds very much like natural law, and I've noticed that this blend mixing of it. And so people need to start educating themselves. There is a difference between the actual practice of natural law and the practice of common law, which is basically a judiciary system which has precedents, hierarchies, the whole enchilada. Not really that different from the corporate law, except in name and in certain aspects of it. Natural law is essentially the law in your heart that the Creator gave all of us. It is the following of the rhythm and the patterns of life that we can easily observe in nature. And how we interact with each other. The maxims of love are a great way of expressing that in a simple way if possible, which is every being has the right to freedom. They have the right to protection. There's that law of balance, which is the third one, which is, if a person or being can't or won't rebalance themselves back to the law, the natural law, to the way of life, then there has to be consequences. And that brings us lastly to the law of intervention, which has everything to do with the community standing up to things like Monsanto, to fracking. Their community has a natural right to defend itself from these harmful things.
And as we speak, the things as preposterous as the TPP are being pushed through, you know, which basically gives corporations more control. I mean, the whole thing is just so out of control with the people who are empowered currently. The question is, why has the military done nothing to stop this? One would have to question why people who are, everyone's obedient, they're obedient to the fiat money. And the oath they take, how does that fit in? Because everybody takes an oath that one would assume means they will do the right thing, like the Hippocratic Oath or the oath to protect your country and your fellow man. Where do oaths and fit in here? You know, people who have oaths.
That's an interesting question. Both your questions are actually quite interesting, and I frankly don't know, because I'm not a military person. I don't know anyone in the military, so I can't answer what the mindset is, except that they are trained to be obedient. Basically the lower ranks are trained to follow orders. The oath, that's an interesting question, because most people, I think the lower ranking folks, the lower echelons of society, they believe in what they're doing. They believe that they're following the Constitution or that they're protecting the people. But if the people, the higher up you go, the more rich you become, the more addicted to power. I think power and money is like a drug addiction. And these people have got a serious pick problem. And so they don't see, they're parasites. They're like little tapeworms. But the way they work is to get everybody else at the lower level to believe falsely this is where the fraud, the extortion, and the involuntary servitude fit in, that they're in fact doing what they claim they're doing. They're two-faced. They're forked tongues. But
well, there's a blackmail element here also. I mean, a lot of people who are powerful, their entire modus operandi is blackmail.
True.
I mean, be it the threat of a nuclear bomb, be it the threat of exposing a pedophile who they've created by, you know. There seems to be so much, I don't know, it's more than just money. I have been actually saying that legislators can be controlled by only giving them an exemption to vaccines. We're down to 1.2% of the population can have an exemption to go to school, and I'm saying you no longer have to pay or lobby in the traditional way with money and perks. All you have to do is say, and your child will be part of the 1.2% lucky enough to survive.
That's a good point.
Well, you're very kind, aren't you, Knife?
Was that actually, you brought up something that I think is a practical side of the natural law, and that's this new movement that's been coming around called unschooling, which is apparently a step further down the line from the homeschooling thing, which really didn't get started till the late 80s, till after I was out of high school. But now they got what they call unschooling, which means you just simply let the child watch what the child gravitates to and help him or her acquire the instructors, acquire the tools and stuff they need to learn that, and let them follow their bliss from an early age, which is apparently the way our hunter-gathering ancestors did it. That's how they educated. They pretty much let the child dictate what they were willing to learn rather than making them, forcing them to learn all these compulsory things, which is more about obedience than it is about learning. So my recommendation, and that includes disabled children, there are ways to get around that. I mean, you can go online now and do research and find, if you've got a blind child, you can find Braille instruction. You can find all the different tools that you need, some of which can be done for free or low cost now. What was the open source revolution taking over? And you got an autistic child, you can do your research on that. So as far as I'm concerned, you're becoming less and less a reason to send a child to school. And much as I love the library, and much as I love of learning, because it's just about obedience. And if you're in a particularly bad category like I was, being tiny and legally blind, was at the time I was wearing these Coke bottom bottle glasses, you're set up to be beat up. Now they make it subtler, but it's still the same thing. It's just they're teaching the children how to be more subtle bullies. Where earlier in the 70s, when I was in elementary school, it was perfectly acceptable to beat the crap out of a child, another child.
I love that Obama and Michelle were doing an anti-bullying campaign while they were threatening Syria with bombs. That was rich to me, you know. It's like all the time. You know, or maybe we were bombing Libya at the time. I just remember thinking, could this be more ironic? But anyway, so I can't help but ask, are you blind from a vaccine? Because blindness, deafness.
No, my mom. My mom got rubella when I was about 3 or 4 weeks into the pregnancy. I'm a rebellious baby. Yeah, mine's not due to vaccines or any of that. Mine is from a disease, a real disease, not one of these pandemics. And he was in Germany with my ex-father at the time, who was in the military. He was a sergeant, MP, in fact, which is ironic because I'm going against all that. So my mom went on the German economy and tried to be un-American in many ways. And as a result, I